Ben!
So hungry.
You should eat. Not now, wait until afterwards.
I can't eat right now, I'm doing a thing, but I'm hungry. Do you get hungry after streams?
I get hungry all the time.
Yeah.
Don't look like me based off of...
I'm trying to lose some of this puppy weight at the minute, man. I'm hungry all the time.
I saw a picture of me from a year ago, and I need to eat less Pringles is what I need to do. That's my mid-year resolution. Can we have that mid-year resolution?
Yeah, why? Sure.
I'm going to eat 75% less Pringles.
Okay.
Yeah.
How's it working?
Well, I mean, I haven't started it till just now. At the moment, I'm on zero Pringles. I am nailing this. Like, when I just said that, I was thinking it and said it at the same time. And since I decided not to eat as many Pringles, I've eaten zero Pringles. So I think I deserve some Pringles.
Well, based on our track record with our ability to say things and then stick to it on this podcast, are you sure this is going to work?
Mate, you broke that first. I am looking at an empty packet of Pringles, which I had earlier.
Are you debating going to a 24-hour?
This is a bag of chocolate. So, yeah, this is going well. This is going well.
Yeah, sounds it. I have a cup of tea and a dream.
I'm nailing it. I'm drinking water. That's healthy.
I've got Cherryade water and tea. Tea is water.
Cherryade.
With tea in it.
It's just infused. It's infused water.
Yeah, it's cherry-infused water.
No, I meant the tea. Cherryade is just carbonated sugar. That's a different thing.
There's no sugar in it. There's no sugar in it.
It's carbonated saccharine, which is a sugar substitute and in many ways worse.
It is. It's carbonated something.
Yep.
But do you know what my favorite bit about this is? There's not a hint of cherry in it. The flavoring is black currant and black carrot, which I always thought black carrot meant it was dead and had gone off. But apparently that's not the case.
If I see black carrots, I don't buy those, and I buy the orange carrots. And by the orange carrots, what I mean is I buy the Pringles and think, I'm glad I didn't buy carrots.
Carrots just don't taste like Pringles, do they? They just don't taste like Pringles.
Similar crunch, but it's much less satisfying.
It's incredibly less. I nearly choked to death on a Brussels sprout today.
Why did you have a Brussels sprout in your mouth?
Oh, I like them. I like Brussels sprouts. And Brussels sprouts are cruciferous like broccoli. So instead of eating broccoli, because broccoli tastes like licking trees, I eat Brussels sprouts.
Which tastes like farts. Like they smell like farts when they're cooking and taste like farts when you put in your mouth. So I don't want to eat a little tree. I'd rather eat a fart. That's what you've just said to me. Good job.
Is that literally where your brain's taking it?
No, okay. I'm just speaking science.
I mean, facts. I'm not entirely sure, but I'm happy to believe it at this point.
I need some comments in the comment section, because that's where you leave
comments.
As
to whether or not Brussels sprouts are farts?
Everyone must know this. They smell like farts. This isn't new information. I need backing up from this.
Well, let's see what they say.
Mm.
Let's see what they say.
I know people are going to be honest.
I like Brussels sprouts. I'm a fan. I have no objection to eating them at all.
Sometimes you say stuff which polarizes our relationship as friends in such a strong way.
Our relationship's already polarized.
No, never, 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 never as far as it is now. I've never considered it to be unfixable.
Wow. Brussels sprouts have done that, have they?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
No, it's fine. Brussels sprouts are good. They're fine. All is well in the world.
It's not. It's not even Christmas. What's the matter with you?
Well, I'm not that guy. I don't only eat things at Christmas. It's like people that go, oh, I love a little bit of Christmas pudding. You're like, all right, really? When do you eat it the rest of the year then?
I only cook Brussels sprouts at Christmas. And by that, I mean, I only cook them, put them on the plate, shove them aside with the parsnips and eat around them and then say, look, I cook Brussels. I'm healthy. Never would they go in my mouth.
You just put them out for everyone else's consumption.
They're ornamental veg.
As most veggies to my children, that's how it seems to be. I think ornamental veg, maybe we should develop a small plastic array of vegetables, right, as one slice that fits on the standard dinner plate. And then what you can do is when you have guests around and you don't want to look like a chunky bugger, you can literally just pop your plastic veg on your plate.
Like it's been waxed or something.
Exactly. And then you can just slip the whole thing off into the pocket with a little sleight of hand trick. We could provide a tutorial video.
There could be a special shirt that it slips into mm-hmm. the sleeve.
It just pops in. Yeah. And it just goes in there. And then they're like, oh, you ate your vegetables fast. You're like, I did. I love my vegetables.
I love my Brussels sprouts and black carrots.
And just rinse it under the tap and slap it back under the desk. You know, you're ready to go. I think we're onto something, mate.
Does this only work when people come to you, though? If you took that to someone else's house, like, we didn't cook Brussels. But I know, I brought my own. Look how healthy I am.
That is a bit awkward. Yeah, no, that wouldn't work so well.
Bring your own veg pie.
If you frequently had guests at your home because you weren't a streamer or an unsociable nerd like we are.
I don't know how you feel about your home, but I don't like other people being in it at all, ever.
I'm fine with the person I married and the people I made. I'm okay with them being in my house. But outside of that, I'm not really a fan. I don't like uninvited guests. If you don't call first, I'm probably not going to let you in.
Yeah.
You know, no matter what. I'm just going to shut the curtains while staring at you.
I regularly don't answer my door when the doorbell goes, like regularly. And I know I'm in because I'm always in. I just say, no, sorry, I was working. I was on the stream. I couldn't do anything. I had the headphones on. I couldn't, like, the game and the music, and I was talking to chat and I didn't hear the door.
Yeah, it sounds fair to me.
And they're watching the stream on their phone of me going, I can hear the door, not answering it. Watching me
trapped forever. They can see you, they know what you're doing. Maybe that's the best way. You should leave a note on the door, like, join my stream chat and tell me you're outside and I'll answer the door.
It's when your mum goes into chat and says, open the door.
Yeah. I'd move house if my mum did that. Yeah. Just for the record, I'd just move house and then not tell her.
That could be the thing to convince me to move north.
It could be. Maybe that's it. Poke's going to be doing this podcast from Huddersfield next week because he's had to move. Because somebody found out where he lived and how to get in contact with him.
Enforced movement.
Yeah, I could go with that. Right, so we've got some things. We have, as is customary, our loose plan of things, don't we, Poke? Of things.
I'd like to think we put some effort into this.
Hmm.
I'll be honest with you, I've forgotten all of the things already.
I've had to open a list. I mean, fundamentally, this is just two nerdy weirdos talking back and forth. That's what it was always going to be, right? We never wanted anything too rigid.
Speak for yourself. I'm nerdy. I'm cool.
Yeah, okay.
There was too much silence there. There was too much of a gap. I didn't like it. It made me uncomfortable. I said I'm cool, and I heard crickets going off in the background. There was a tumbleweed.
Yep, the tumbleweed ran over the crickets.
Yeah, one of them was riding it. He was having a great time.
Oppa Gangnam Style. That's what he was doing. So the first news article, which is probably, it's been a slow week. I want you to know it's been a slow week in the gaming world.
Has it been a slow week, though? We had this discussion with it being a slow week, and then the more we talked, the more stuff has happened. I don't think it's been that slow a week.
Well, maybe it's felt like a slow week, but we have seen things within the sphere.
Yeah, we've seen things.
That have happened. Things were seen. The Fortnite World Cup happened. That happened.
That did.
We have technically three extremely rich babies running around.
Yes.
Like 16-year-olds. The average age of the player at the Fortnite World Cup was 16.
When you really take a moment to think about that and absorb that as information as a fully fledged grown-up, does that not make you hate them just a little bit?
I'm jealous of their childlike reactions.
I hate them.
And the fact that they have no responsibilities and distractions.
Wait, there's a kid who's 16 years old who won $3 million because he plays Fortnite. And do you know what he said? Do you know what he said?
Tell me what he said.
It's not easy. I train 6 and 7 hours a day. I stream 6 to 7 hours a day. No one's giving me $3 million. No one's giving me $1 million. Where's my $1 million? I would take... A small percentage of that.
Well, I mean, a young kid from the UK, 15-year-old, won 900,000, didn't he? He came out 900,000 richer.
It was $1.1 million, I think it was, which was probably about £900,000.
900,000 or so. I mean, that's very nice.
He was 15. If you gave me £1 million at 15,
yep.
I don't exist at 17. That's me done. I've lived the life. I've burnt myself out. I'm in a Red Bull fueled front page frenzy.
Do you reckon that's going to be a problem though? Yeah. That could be a problem. Like we could end up with a child, you know, Hollywood star issue. More Macaulay Culkins.
Anytime you give an underage or underdeveloped mind that much money, yeah, it's just gonna go one of two ways. It's all gonna come down to support structure, and if they've got the right family around them, they'll keep them centered, and if they're not, then they'll go off the rails. So it's just, but that's the same of any footballer or any sports star or any movie star. So anyone, and these are athletes in their way. These are just because he's 15 and 16, he was the best person at that event.
It was. I and you see them play, and it's incredible. They put a lot of work in. Now that, well, they had 2.3 million concurrent viewers, and that was only across Twitch and YouTube. That wasn't including Mixer and or
Facebook and all of the other ones.
Facebook
yeah.
and the like. Yeah, they were also covering the event. Mm. You know, these kids are moving at an incredible speed. When you see what they're doing, it's
yeah
beyond what I could do without training. I would have to really go
I
at it.
I mean this with the greatest of respect. You could train for 10 hours a day, 12 hours a day, every day for the rest of your life and never hit the level that they're at now. Because you're old. You don't have the reaction times. You just don't have the dexterity in your hands. You're just an old man.
Well, there's truth in that, yeah.
Me too. Once you get past, 25? And you see it in sports stars. You see it in Formula One drivers. Once you hit a certain age, and it isn't old by any measure.
It's not old, no.
It's just sort of late 20s. It's just, you just can't compete anymore.
This stat actually came up in a podcast I was listening to the other day that most athletes have to retire at 34. Yeah. Like elite athletes have to retire at 34 years old.
Because you can't compete.
That's where I am right now. That's where I am right now.
You're only 34.
You know. Now, obviously, there are outliers to the case, you know.
Yeah, you're gonna get exceptions, but there's the rule, there's the standard is, yeah, by that age. And you look at sports stars and there's very rarely anyone beyond that.
Any old ones. So yeah, kids running around with $3 million.
The kid who won earned more from the Fortnite World Cup than Tiger Woods did when he won the Masters this year. So what the hell? I mean, I love gaming. I love the way this is going. I'd love to have gone there 10 years ago when I was 16.
Yeah, same.
and it would have been wonderful. I never would have reached that level. But the kid's mum took his Xbox away a little bit. I saw that somewhere that the kid's mum said he was playing.
I bet
the
he's
Xbox
got three in his
much.
Room now.
Yeah, I bet she's happy that he's been playing on that Fortnite.
Mm-hmm. I kind of like that's twisting that way though, because obviously we came up in the generation where it wasn't quite uncool to be a gamer when I was coming up. That had happened a bit before.
It was uncool for me, and I'm way way younger than you.
Yeah, I believe It was one of those things where it was becoming okay because there were big enough groups of us because, you know, the PlayStation was coming in and these consoles were becoming mainstream. You know, I'm talking in my teenage years when I was in secondary school and that.
I always had friends that had consoles.
Yeah, same.
It wasn't like I was the only one with a console in the corner trying to hide my shame. It was, you're right. I don't.
Your parents always took it as a waste of your time, of course, because that was the generation, but.
Mine was okay. I think I was in a special circumstance.
I think a lot of parents find it more convenient when you're quiet. You know, if they find out it keeps you quiet, they're quite happy to just leave you sat there in the corner, you know.
Me specifically. This feels like a personal attack.
Well, no, this was true of me as well. My mother very much liked me out the way. That was a thing. So that would be the case. And, you know, I hear mothers talking in the schoolyard. They're talking about limiting their kids' screen time and stuff. And you sit there and you think, well, why hinder them? By the time they get to 10 years of age, technology is going to be literally everywhere. Yeah, why would you hinder them like that?
My nephew's like 2, and I've seen him walk up to my mum, turn the iPad out of her hand, close it, swipe over to YouTube, click it, and like, it just goes boop, boop, boop. And I'm like, this kid's a genius. I don't even know some of the things that this kid's like. Boop, boop, boop.
But it's so intuitive for them, isn't it? That's the thing. I mean, that's testament to iPads and the terrifying research they must have done. Because my daughter is completely tech savvy. She can operate a mouse and a keyboard to a degree where she can walk a character around in Destiny. I couldn't do that at 6. You know, that's a bit out of my league, I suppose.
I know people that can't, and I have had relationships in the past with people who won't play games. And I've tried to sort of ease them into games like Minecraft and stuff like that, where they won't play because there's 2 analog sticks and they can't control 2 analog sticks at the same time.
At the same time, yeah.
So they either walk around staring at the floor the whole time or staring at the sky. There's no strafing.
Or they do that thing where they have to stop to turn to look. Like me when I was learning to play an Xbox at Christmas. That was me. That was literally me. I felt that. I felt every bit of it.
But when you're so used to something, you forget how hard that skill is. And these kids are growing up with these skills without even considering it.
They are, but that's only going to raise the bar for how good they are at these games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's I love it. If my daughter comes to me when she's, you know, 16 years of age, really, I don't want to do it much early. But if she arrives at me and says, you know, I want to play games, I'm like, that is going to make you unattractive to men. Let's get going. Let's get on it right now.
Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
I'm clinging to a pipe dream,
one
man.
One of the number one most attractive thing in a girl for me is plays video games.
It's a girl that's, gamer. Yeah.
Plays video games because that ticks the interested in same thing as I am interested in category. That's one of the... I don't want to be with someone who's not into games at all because then we're separate.
I have a unique stretch in that my wife is a gamer too. She's predominantly plays mobile games, but she plays Nintendo Switch and she has every DS. She's platinumed every Pokemon game that's come out. You know, it's not mess around stuff. There are lists in my house, mate. There are lists of the Pokemon and where to get them and how she has to get them and how she's going to level them up and what moves she wants. And you see these elaborate spider graphs on the wall. You know, you don't know what you're doing with your life anymore. So my daughter's surrounded by it, you know, and as is my son.
I think that's a good thing.
And so do I. I mean, we're already androids, right? So we're already, well, cyborgs, I suppose, because everybody's intelligence level goes up 30 million times when you've got your phone in your hand.
Well, you're constantly attached to that phone. If you reach out now, your phone, my phone is within 4 inches of my shoulder, my elbow right now.
The only time it's further than a foot away from me is when I'm taking a shower. That's the only time.
No, mine's not even, I wouldn't even say it's that far away from me when I'm showering. But mine's within reach, just in case.
But these, I find with the parents that are doing the whole, I'm going to restrict screen time talk, you know, which the point of this being, it's going to hamper these kids if this is, you know, this is a legitimate dream now. But those same parents think nothing of being stuck to a phone.
Absolutely, you know, not.
They see it as different. I find that very odd.
How many times have you been in a conversation or within a group of friends where everyone's not staring at their phone? It's not even how many times where they are. It's how often are they not? Everyone's just...
Are they not? Yeah. Well, we have a set rule. I have a group of friends that I go out with very, very rarely because we're all dads and the usual crap. But when we go out, it is a case of just leave your phone in the car, yeah? You know, you're going to give us an hour. We're going to have an hour where we're present. And I'm not going to lie, you feel like making an excuse to go and check it.
Yeah,
you know, it's fully ticked in there.
That was the mass rules.
Leave the phones in the car. We're having an hour. We're going to eat some food. We're going to talk. And it does result in some miserable times. Or I'll just Google that. And you're like, you can't.
So how do you know, fact check anything?
Well, we don't.
Nah, I don't like
it. We're just a group of blokes sat in a circle who fact checks anything.
Just staring at each other. Because you don't even drink.
Slow eating your chicken. No, none of us drink. No, it's very boring.
No wonder it's a rare occasion.
Yeah, we're talking, well, you know, biannually, if we're that lucky.
That's fair.
So, yeah. But now you've got kids walking around with 3 million with legitimate careers. I mean, 3 million is life-changing money.
That's life-changing money to an entire family and probably two generations of an entire family.
I mean, I don't know entirely what the law on this is, but I believe that if you're under 16 and you inherit an incredible amount of money like that, or you're under 18, it has to go in trust or something.
Yeah.
Like, I think his parents will get it and it goes into a trust fund until he's old enough or some such. I believe that's the case with it, right?
That's when it gets a little bit grey, because you've seen all of the child stars that were making millions and then they got to 18 and then there was no money because mummy spent it all and daddy spent it all. So there's always the risk of that, but as long as it's put in trust, then that's good. Because at 16, you can't be trusted.
No, I would mess that up. I'd mess that up at 30.
You shouldn't be allowed to spend it till they're 35. Give it to me when I'm 35. I'll put it on a mortgage.
That's what you got to do, right? Invest in property. Invest it properly.
I refuse to own any property anymore. I'm completely bulking against the system.
But that's fair too. Well, you live in a broom cupboard in London.
I live in a well. To be fair, I can't afford a mortgage in London.
No, no one can. That's why nobody's there.
If I want to run away to Canada tomorrow, my landlord would be pissed. That's literally the only consequence. And I really like that. You've got some more planning to do.
I have some more roots, but no, my intention has always been investment and property. My brother, for all his wonderful beans, he does this currency trading stuff.
Currency trading.
I don't really understand it and I don't talk too much about it, but I know that he managed to turn 100 quid into, you know, 600, 700 pound. Which I thought was quite impressive.
Well, sometimes I regularly turn £100 into about four.
What, £4?
About £4, yeah. I go the other way.
Yeah. But I think, I mean, you know, living in the gaming space, you can be tech savvy to things like crypto and blockchain and all this other stuff, you know.
I consider myself to be gaming industry adjacent, and you as well. And neither of us do. 100% of people in this conversation don't know anything about cryptocurrency or blockchain. So maybe your daughter can teach us one day.
Do you ever wonder what the out is?
Yeah.
Like, for these kids, the same applies. What happens if you are the pro gamer? You start at 16. We know you can realistically compete until probably, let's go 30, but you're going to be hitting carpal tunnel at 25, right? Let's be realistic. So you're going to have your carpal tunnel stuff. You're going to have some onset RSI, maybe some nice arthritis to go with it. Welcome to being an older gamer.
I don't think arthritis works that way.
It doesn't work that way, but it's a thing.
In Fenn's imaginary future where everyone's got bad hands.
Everyone's got crippled thumbs yep. because you play on Xbox controllers, your weird little wiggly stickers.
Yep.
My point being, what do you do when you hit like 30? Do you just hope you've made enough money? Is this the athlete paradox? You hope you've just made enough money to retire, or?
I was gonna say, it's exactly the same. Well, if you think where we are now, we're very formative years of esports and stuff. We're still very, very, very baby steps into legitimacy.
Mm.
So at the moment, you can't really see where it's gonna go, but there's nothing to say that in 10, 15 years, these kids that are 15 now doing it, why won't they be legitimately coaching and team run owning in proper leagues? And just don't they go the route and then they become pundits, and it becomes the, what do athletes do when they go? And they, I don't know, you open up a shoe shop. I don't know, you do what you want.
You think it will follow the athlete trail?
I think it will. Like, I think it will. I think there's already significant coaching in certain games. These kids who are winning Fortnite are probably less so. But this, I don't know the kid's name, but the kid who won the Fortnite World Cup is in on it. He's on an esports team.
Booga. Yeah, Boogers. Yeah, they are. All of the top ones are representing an organization in some description, because it's the only way they can get there, though.
Yes, they're not on their own. They're being coached. They're having money invested into them.
I hope they are.
Yeah, and they will then in turn become the coaches and the shoutcasters and all of the things that go with it.
The problem is the games, the difference I see there is with...
The games change,
yeah. Whereas they don't change in, you know, football doesn't change. Golf doesn't change. You know, golf's been the same boring sport since the dawn of time.
This is very true.
So you can do the coach athlete because you have the knowledge to pass on.
Well, that's a little bit of an odd one, because it's the unique part about it, really, the building isn't interchangeable, and it's the gunplay. Whereas so take Fortnite out of it, because Fortnite is kind of a weird one in itself.
Complex.
If you look at your Rainbow Six Siege, Call of Duty will always have a type of game that will always be within that.
There will always be a shooter.
Whether it's Call of Duty or the next, whatever the version of it is, there'll always be a Rainbow Six tactical attack and defend property out there.
Yeah,
so,
that's fair.
So those ones, I think, will go onto it. Something like Fortnite. Fortnite's a juggernaut, and it is. It's taken a hit from the other ones, but it's still... I mean, look at the numbers it was pulling over the World Cup.
It's not struggling, is it?
No, and Fortnite's a bit like Overwatch. It doesn't make sense, or it doesn't lend itself well to sequels. Like, why would you make an Overwatch 2?
Well, they're making an Overwatch 2.
But why are they making an Overwatch 2? Are they gonna wipe the entire roster of characters out and bring in new ones? That seems pointless.
The only reason I can see for doing things like that is fundamental updates to the game that they can't fix.
Yeah, outside of engine stuff.
Well, that's the only reason you would do it, right? So maybe that's what it is. You want to have a better, more robust upgrade system instead of being a 2 gig update every time, you know, something like that. I don't know.
Potentially, or there'll be a fundamental shift in how points are scored, or the actual game type, the base core game type. But I don't really see why they would necessarily. I don't understand Overwatch 2. Just don't get it. Fortnite 2. Why? Why just bring a new map? These BRs don't lend themselves to that. So the Fortnite could go on for 25 years. It could be CSGO.
Yeah, it could be.
Just evolve as it goes. There's no reason to say it won't.
I mean, Counter-Strike has been that was my pro game, and that's always survived. So I suppose the fundamentals of Counter-Strike are still actually the same.
Yeah.
Because you wouldn't coach skill.
You coach strategy.
You'd coach strategies, which are universal, and you'd probably coach, you know, like these stream coaches that are appearing all over the parish. They coach a theory about, you know, this is how you grow. This is the meta. So you'd coach the meta, and the skill and the individual would be down to the player. So you could say, like, you need to train 4 hours, then have lunch, then train 4 hours, you know?
Variations on a theme. Yeah. Absolutely.
Rather than training a base skill. So that would make sense. And then punditry is just shoutcasting in our world.
I don't like the term shoutcasting. It really irritates me. It's my least favorite term for anything. It's just commentary. You're commentating.
But there's two types. It's like UFC. In the UFC, you have a color commentator and you have a technical. So you have the guy that sits there and goes, this is what he's trying to do, and this is the move he's looking for. And then you have the guy that's, oh my God, what a shot. I've never seen.
You have the hype man.
Yeah, that's the color commentator, yeah? That's what he is. And that seems to be how we handle esports on the whole. I mean, Fortnite World Cup was cast by Lupo and Courage Jedi.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was cast by pros, you know, which I thought was great.
I think that's 100% the only way that you can have that with any level of respect. If you'd have brought in some rapper or some, if Marshmello had done it, it's like, what are you doing? Why are you bringing this random who doesn't really know? Marshmello might be a bad example because he won, but
he is involved. Yeah,
he won with, was it Ninja? He won with.
It was Ninja. I think
I'm almost certain I could win with Ninja.
I think I'd have a better chance than if I did it on my own.
100%. If we went in together. Or I went against you with Ninja. I know which one I'm going to bet on exactly.
Yeah.
So it's maybe a bad example directly, but still, you want someone who really, really drills and knows what they're doing. Someone who's playing it 8 hours a day, every day, knows the game inside out, knows the plays, knows where to look, knows what to look for. That's what you want. And I think they did well, those two.
Yeah. I like those. I'm a fan of how Fortnite is managing its esports and trying to make it a legitimate spectacle. Although I see it more as WWE than Premiership football kind of thing, I like what they're doing with it and I like where it's going.
Almost triggered everyone who likes wrestling. But it's real! It's not make-believe! No, I don't know if I see it quite the same way as you. It's definitely more legitimate sport. It is skill-based. It may be more darts than Premier League, but...
That's not quite what I meant. That's not quite what I meant. What I mean is that they're making it a spectacle. So they have the celebrities that come in to endorse they have the big wobbly chaps and they have all the fireworks and the fake battle bus and all that stuff.
Did you call them the big wobbly chaps?
Yeah, you know the big wobbly chaps? The noodle people?
Okay.
The noodle people.
What you mean other people?
Do you know what I mean? The big, they're like giant cheese strings with arms. Those guys. The
flappy wavy arm man.
Right.
I know.
So you don't know what they're called either. The noodle people.
They're not noodle people. I can't think of it. It's a Family Guy thing. Someone's going to post it in the comments. They'll know.
If anybody knows the answer to that, put it in the comments while I drink Cherryade, please.
Flappy, arm, wavy.
Yeah.
Batman.
So anyway, what else happened this week?
Sony more specifically, released some numbers that PlayStation's on to be the highest selling console of all time, PlayStation 4. That's clipped 100 million units sold in its lifetime.
And to go with that, the stats came out about digital versus physical, didn't they, this morning? I saw them this morning. And digital, for the first time ever, is starting to overtake physical copies on games.
I think I saw 52%.
It is. But it was...
Which is huge.
It was holding between 47 and 52% and holding quite nicely, which has obviously put pay to the argument about Scarlett not having a disc drive. The Xbox S not having the disc drive. You know, the one that came out.
Yeah, the one I think... I literally just had to lean over and look to see if mine had a disc drive. That's how often I use it. I do have one in mine, but I don't.
Mine's had Black Ops 4 rammed in there since the day I bought the PlayStation. Xbox.
Mine's got Siege in it. I haven't played Siege for a year.
Everything I own is digital now. And I'm not a collector, though. I'm not a games collector.
I do like stuff, though. There is something special about having a box. There is something really good about hating a game and going trading it in.
I went off physical copies of games when they stopped putting the little storybooks in them in the Mega Drive days.
I was going to say, that's been 20 years, mate.
Oh, I know it has, but that's when I don't need physical games. Steam came out in 98, I think.
98? No, that's no way.
Was it earlier than that?
That was later than that. Way later than that.
2013. It came out in 2013,
Later. You were off by 15 years. You were off by a Fortnite World Cup winner.
I'm old. I'm always off by years. Bite me. But when Steam came out, physical copies for the PC died practically overnight.
Yeah.
They just went.
Yeah, and everyone was against them, and then they realised it was a good thing.
For PC gaming especially, it was a very good thing.
You know, I think it's driven the prices down. I feel like it's driven the prices down. Maybe I'm wrong.
I feel it stabilised them. I don't know if it necessarily drove them down, but we don't see on PC games, you don't see what you see on PlayStation and Xbox, where AAA titles are a 10 or more than everything else. That doesn't tend to happen.
I always was under the impression that they were more as a deal with the distributors, like the physical shops, the GameStops, the Games of the world, where they were trying not to upset them, so they would price it more to say, look, keep selling our stuff, please. We know we're selling it as well, but we'll make it more so people will probably still come to you.
That's the digital stores with Xbox and PlayStation never have sales. The prices never go down. That's how they've had them. That's changed a bit with Xbox recently, but as far as I know with PlayStation, they very rarely drop the prices of their store games.
PlayStation has a deal section. I haven't got a PlayStation.
But it does, but it's a rotating deal. So what I mean is, if you go and look at a game that's not in that deal section, it will be the same price as the day they put it on there. They don't tend to bring the prices down.
Oh, you mean over time. there's no reduction in price over time? Ah, okay, that's different to the sale. You mean a reduction in price?
They do a flash sale system, but PlayStation strike me as the medium that's sticking the most to physical copies. Xbox seem to be quite happy to shift away from it. They want the cloud. You know, they want all the games to be downloaded. That seems to be where they're at and what they're pushing.
It's the way it's going to go. It's obvious that's the way it's going to go. People are accepting of it. It's not unaffordable. It's more convenient. You don't get the resale value of trade-ins if that's what you want. So it's a little less affordable in that respect. I think overall, it just makes sense. I want to sit in my pants and buy a game. I don't want to put trousers on and go outside.
Yeah, my internet's big enough now that I can handle a download. You know, I've not been inconvenienced by a game download in a long time.
That might be a huge influence to it as well. The fact that the internet speeds have increased to a point where you can now, is it Destiny, something like 90 gigabytes?
Yeah, it's a big game.
It's a big game, but it's viably downloaded in.
You just leave it overnight, right?
Yeah, if you've got average internet, you'll get it overnight.
Yeah. So
that might be a big factor into this.
There's been a big nostalgia kick with titles being, they call it backwards compatible, I suppose, but it's not really that. It's like resurrecting odd old games. Like, all of Doom has just come to Switch. Like, I mean, like original Doom. You can play that in a browser.
The Switch is bringing Flash games to the Switch. No, the Switch is good at that, though, isn't it? It's super convenient for those sort of games because they're small. They're not a huge download game. I imagine that factors that into it. And who doesn't want to play Doom on the toilet?
I would play Doom on the toilet. I'm in for that.
Sure, with an advanced set of mirrors. You could do it now.
I don't need that in my life, but yeah, I could. I mean, I have a Switch. It's over the other side of the room.
I have a Switch. It's at my mum's house. I lent it to her once a year ago.
Oh, dear. That was a foolish mistake.
Yeah. I was like, Mum, this game, look at this game you used to play when I was a kid. Have a look. Yeah, that was about a year ago I had that.
Oh, dear.
Uh-huh.
Now you live that life.
She told me she bought Zelda the other day. Mum, that's mine. What are you doing? You're buying games for my Switch. Yeah.
It's her Switch now. I don't know why you're talking like you still own it.
It's officially her Switch.
Yeah, I don't know why you're talking like you still own it, because you don't.
I might have to pick up another one.
Yeah.
I did ask her if I could borrow it when Luigi came out, Luigi's Mansion.
Well, the catalogue for Switch is getting huge.
There was another stat I saw. Switch, in its life cycle, it is as selling as quickly as PS4 was at this stage. So PS4 is now the on for being the highest sold console of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And Switch is matching it in its timeline as part of that. The other thing I saw is it's nearly, I think they said that it's nearly 5 games per every console that sells. That's the ratio.
Wow.
Yeah, that's huge. That's way up on there.
Yeah, that is impressive.
But then, I mean, I used to own a Switch, and I've got about 5 or 6 games for it.
I was going to say, I think I'm rolling 5 or 6. They're starting to have some trouble with Joy-Con drift. That's a problem that's happening on the Switch.
I saw the thing about they're replacing them or repairing them. They look it up. They're on it. Yeah, they're sorting.
Yeah, they're addressing it. Yeah, I could go for some Doom. You know, I mean, it's all Doom. It's the original Doom up to Doom 3 is going to be on the Switch, and Doom 64 is finally being released from the N64 and is getting, well, it's been rated for PC. There's been no proof.
Rated for PC suggests that it's
coming, right? It's got to be.
You're going to port it to one place, you might as well.
They've got it. They've got it a PEGI rating, so it's probably coming. So yeah, Switch is resurrecting old games.
3 is before 64.
Doom 3?
Yeah, is that before 64? I realize 64 isn't the 64th game. I understand that. There wasn't another 61 games in between those two.
I'm pretty sure that Doom 64 would technically be Doom 3, and then Doom 3 would be Doom 4.
Okay, so that's the thing. Which means they're all going to be, again, they're all going to be of that age where they're quite small files in comparison to.
Yeah, and quite small games, linear levels, no up down. I mean, you know, all that fun stuff.
I mean, they're on an SD card, Switch games, so they're not exactly blowing the world up with sizes.
They're not whoppers. Well, I think most of the Doom games were digital download. I don't know if there's going to be a physical copy released.
But what I mean is the Switch doesn't have a vast. It's not like you can plug a terabyte hard drive into it like you can the Xbox.
No.
So it needs to be able to fit within that. I can see that making sense. I can see going through back catalogs. Some of my favorite games are on there, Phantasy Star and games like that you can pick up.
I like that they're mixing IPs as well. They're not just sticking to Nintendo games on the.
Well, Phantasy Star was a Sega game.
It was, yeah. And Doom was PC, floppy disk.
Yeah.
I think that's good. You know, it's good that. I like that they're doing stuff like that because I, you know, playing retro games is something I quite enjoy, but I actually enjoy it more when I'm away. So if I go back to the Lake District or Summit for a week, it'd be nice to take the Switch and play through some of those. Yeah, that would be a perfect fit for that for me.
Genuinely thought you were going to say, I really like retro games. What I really like is playing retro games while pooping.
What is it with you in the toilet today? What's wrong? Are you all right?
I just need to poop.
Is that what it is? I need to eat and you need to poop?
It's just constantly on my mind. I already ate. I've only got one other thing to do and then I'm going to go to bed. So I think that's where I thought your brain was going to go.
Okay. I mean, it's not, but here we are. What else do we have this week? The Mavericks game, Mavericks Proving Grounds, which was supposed to be a 1,000. Nobody's going to be shocked by this if you knew about the game. 1,000 player battle royale shut down.
Well, no, I think that's a misrepresentation, and that's not you misrepresenting it. I think that's the way it's been presented. Is it was never going to be a 1,000 player battle royale. It was a 400 player battle royale with a thousand player something. It was a 400 player battle royale. It's too many players. It's too ambitious.
That's still too many. Yeah. It doesn't need to be that anymore.
How big does the map have to be to take 400 people? I really get irritated running on PUBG.
Yeah, that's fair.
On the small map, it's just too much running. 400, that's a 45-minute round, and I'm spending most of that running in a field.
Yeah, no, I'm good for that. I don't mind doing it in PUBG because I find it relaxing when I'm streaming it, but I find PUBG dated at the moment, you know.
No, but it's because you're not running for a field. You're using running for a field to talk to people.
To talk to people, yeah. I couldn't do that with a 400 player. Nah. But the studio's gone completely bust, apparently. It's not even just that the game's failed before it even got off the ground.
Right, yeah, gone into administration. Yeah, couldn't get the funding. Just like, they're the same, that's Automaton. It's the same company that made Deceit on the PC. Remember Deceit?
Yeah, that game, Deceit did well for a while, didn't it? That was the one where you had to just solve the murder mystery sort of idea, was it?
Deceit was the one, it was a free-to-play where it was 5 players and you had to escape. I've never played it. You can tell when I'm going to describe it, but you have to escape to somewhere. So it's one of those sort of games.
Okay.
And there's 5 of you together and I think like 2 of you are on the bad team and have to kill the other ones. And you never, it's one of those don't trust each other. But you've got to work together to get out, but you can't fully trust each other because one of you is definitely going to try to kill you all before you get out, but doesn't want you all to turn on them, so they're going to pretend to help.
I don't trust people anyway. Yeah, I need a game to make me trust people less?
There's another game like that I was looking at. I can't think of the name of it.
There's the one that's in the trains. There's the one that's got the trains or something that was out recently that was the same.
This is why we shouldn't record at 1 o'clock in the morning. I can't remember the names of anything.
You can't remember things at midday. It's not. This isn't specific to the AM.
All right, you've got a strong argument there. And I don't really like it. I don't like it at all.
Speaking of bringing games back from the dead, let's jump into that. Another patch for Division 2. They're trying really hard.
Are we officially calling Division 2 dead?
I think so. Last recording, it was ridiculously low viewage. I mean, I judge games based on streams, right? That's what I...
That's our metric for success, yeah.
Yeah. My metric is it still being streamed? Is it still being watched? Because that's how I gauge interest at all. And I'm looking here and it currently has... It's 1.2K on Twitch. That's not as low as I thought.
But that's less than Dark Souls, which is 10 years old. So you can argue that's still pretty bad.
650 viewers of that is an established streamer that's obviously just looking at the new patch.
Yeah, it is a game that, I mean, everyone had this Anthem nonsense of being disappointed, but it's the game that I've been the most disappointed with. I was really anticipating it. I think I played it till I was level 7 and then I noped out.
I'm max level and very high on the gear power side. I played it quite a bit on the Xbox, but it didn't have an end game. It falls foul of the same thing that all Division games fall foul. Then they bought out the raid and they didn't have any matchmaking, which was a massive mistake, in my opinion.
There's no matchmaking in raids.
There's no matchmaking in the raid.
Yeah, but you say that, but then Destiny doesn't have any matchmaking in raids.
Destiny doesn't do it on purpose. It only requires a few players. You know what? You're right, actually, there.
It needs six people. And realistically, for the average person, so not someone who's on the stream being watched by X amount of people that can sort of pull the crowd together, how many people can say they've got five other friends that they can definitely lock in once a week to play an hour and a half of content? Definitely. It's a tricky one.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, well, it didn't work. It didn't work anyway. I mean, I don't know why, but it didn't work. People were angry that there was no matchmaking. They really didn't like it. So the content lines got really blurry with the release. So there's the year one patch and everything that's come out, the first season one update rather from the season pass. The content's fractured and all over the place, which never helps. You know, you've got people with the year one pass get this bit but not that bit, and then this bit's free, and then you can have this bit but you have to pay for it separately, and then this is half finished but you can't do that bit without doing that bit.
Yeah, I'm not keen on that,
you know, things like that. It was massively fragmented content and you had to own several different parts of it and various different models. One of the things that Call of Duty suffered for as well with this kind of model was doing the map packs.
Yep.
They would bring a map pack every 3 months that just fragmented the
user base. Yeah.
I don't think that works.
Well, that's one of the things with, unless I really love one of the COD games, like World War II. I really loved World War II. I don't know why it resonated with me. Loved it from start to finish. I bought the map packs for that. Every other COD that I've played that I didn't love, I didn't buy the map packs. And as soon as the map packs come out, stop playing it. Just turn it off. It's like, well, I can't play it. I don't want to play it.
But that's it. You don't want to do. They tried it. I remember Modern Warfare 2 would load you into a lobby with a DLC map and then kick you from the lobby as the game was loading because it was like, you don't have the map pack. And that was obviously
offensive and it's blatantly trying to guilt you into buying you.
It's trying to guilt you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look what you're not having.
It's completely coverable because they can turn around and go, oh, well, actually, that's just when it does the check at the end of the lobby. You know, that sort of language. Well, that's how I see it. But I don't like fragmented content. I would rather maybe you push the story or something. I don't know. But I don't. Fracturing the user base of a game that already has a fractured user base strikes me as unwise, you know. I wanted more from The Division and Anthem.
I expected nothing from. I could see Anthem coming a mile away.
Yeah.
It was this rotation's Sea of Thieves. And maybe that's what The Division is. It's that, and I've spoke about this before, that inclination to let's just quickly get a game out. Let's get a game out. Let's create a world and get the game out and let people do what they want in it. And then over time, we'll fill it up. And that's what Sea of Thieves did. And there was two things to do, and they were very limited on Sea of Thieves when it first came out. And now there's a whole bunch of things to do.
Yeah.
No Man's Sky is exactly the same. There was literally nothing to do. And now there's a whole bunch of stuff. And it seems like a cash grab. Grab all the money you can, and then we'll continue developing. And then we'll try to buy back our audience, buy back our community by giving them new things and hoping that does enough. I think with games like Anthem, they might never recover from that. They could add all of the content. They've alienated too many people.
I think Anthem's going to really suffer because, like you said, it's got a bit of taste. I mean, I don't know if you're familiar with the life cycle of Rainbow Six. Of all the games that were ever resurrected, Rainbow Six was probably the top of ones I've seen because they paused their entire roadmap and said, we're going to do a health check run. We're going to do 6 months of fixing server problems, fixing bugs, making the spectator stuff more friendly, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And they did. They did everything they said they were going to do. They made the game, you know, they brought it back from dying. It wasn't dead, but it was struggling. And they managed to bring that back, you know.
They recognized the trend and they stemmed the...
And they fixed it, yeah.
Yeah, stemmed the flow. That's good. That's to be commended.
But I obviously have faith in that because, you know, that it means that they had their fingers on the pulse. And I'm hoping the same for Division. I really am. Because Division's a game I can get into the lore. I like the idea, the stories and stuff. You know, that suits me.
Very 12 Monkeys.
Yeah, but I like it. I like it. I'm cool with the idea, you know. And I like the the cityscape stuff and how the combat works, etc. I just wanted more from it, I suppose. I never felt any immersion with Division 2.
It was weird because I locked into Division 1 really well. I really enjoyed it, really, like the whole game. I don't know if I evolved as a player away from that style.
Yeah.
Or if Division 2 was so much different. It didn't even feel that much different. It just didn't capture me, which is a shame.
I get that. But they're doing it. One of the big buffs coming is they're doing a massive buff to skills. They're making skills viable, they say, however that means. And that will help it. So maybe it does see a resurrection.
Yeah, it might be worth revisiting.
At some point, maybe, yeah.
You can never have enough popular games.
You can never have enough co-op, PvE, chill out, have fun with your mates games. That's definitely something I believe.
Ongoing games as well. I mean, it's all good to have like Wolfenstein, which is that co-op, but then at the end of it, it's not really, there's not a huge amount to do, whereas something like Division, something like Destiny, that sort of perpetual game, that they'll always keep bringing it back. And you've always got the reason to go back and play the stuff you already did and sort of revisit the raids, revisit the strikes, go back into Crucible and stuff. You can't have enough of those type of games. And Anthem should have been like that.
It should have been like that, and it wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
Destiny 2 is seeing great things at the moment, and they're ramping it up really nicely with the new bits and bobs towards September's release, obviously.
Seems to be a resurgence, and there seems to be, within the community, a bit more positive. Because everyone was so negative about the way Destiny 1 got, when it sort of tailed off towards the end of that cycle. People were getting a little bit negative about it, and then Destiny 2 didn't really set the world on fire, and it went a little bit quiet, and it seems to be a lot more positive about, hey, Shadowkeep's going to be good. It's going to bring new stuff, and people were expecting big things.
If they nail it, if they get Shadowkeep right, and it brings in enough stuff, and it's well implemented, and it's not all broken, I think they'll recover it fully. You know, I think they'll bring it right back.
You say that, but I played the stuff. They had the release of the Solstice, is it the Solstice?
Yeah, the Solstice stuff, yeah.
That came out yesterday. I played that this morning. In the first game, none of the enemies would die. Their life would keep filling back up to full after they got killed. And the next game, I glitched into an area of a map that obviously had been developed and decided we weren't going to use that because it was like inside the buildings and there was platforms and sort of things that I can climb on, but none of them had textures. So that happened on a game.
What do you do to these games, Poke? What do you...
I don't experience these sort of things very often. So I was like all freaked out by it. Like, I don't... Am I supposed to be... I felt naughty. Like, I don't think I'm supposed to be. Like, he's just going to come and catch me. And I was going to get in trouble.
I have had no problems with it at all, apart from the fact that it's a big stinky grind.
It was like... Oh, it's a big stinky grind. It was on Xbox as well, which... Generally, Xbox.
Nah.
Well, no, but Microsoft are very big on testing before they release stuff, which is why Minecraft and stuff like that was so far behind PC, because they're so stringent in theory. At least they were. But yeah, I was inside of a building, but I got in and couldn't get out. There was a hole. I could see the outside, but the texture was invisible, but you couldn't go through it. So I could just see outside, but not actually access it. It's a hard time. I nearly cried. I was scared.
You have a gift, mate, for breaking stuff, you do.
I feel like sometimes you got to push the boundaries of what's acceptable.
Yeah, I'm fair with that. And that's what we got, man. That's the end of the list. Is there anything else that's rolling off the top of your noodle? Or are we going to have a short one this week?
I think we're going to have a short one this week, mainly because of the poop, food, sleep situation that's going on.
Is a thing.
I don't think all of those things should be done at once, but...
No, but I would like something to eat before I go to bed.
What are you going to eat?
I don't know.
Is that what the podcast has come down to? We're going to have a talk about what you're going to eat.
I'm on this stupid... I'm trying to calorie count, so I don't have a lot in. I have...
You're calorie counting?
Yeah, I'm calorie counting. I'm trying to jump some weight before EGX in October.
I quit Pringles within the last hour.
Yeah, but you probably started them again by now.
Quitting Pringles is too much. I cut down by 75%.
That's too much. In the last hour alone.
In the last hour... Zero Pringles have entered this temple.
Yours is that kind of temple that monkeys poop in. That's that kind of temple you're in.
That's I find that offensive.
But you can find it offensive. I'm going to bed.
This is me.
Going to bed. Good night, Poke.
Night. See you later. Bye, people.
Bye. Bye, people. Bye.